Hello, well it's 12 o'clock on the dot, Australian Eastern Standard Time, and a very warm welcome to everybody on today's Ask the Expert teleseminar. My name is Faye Hollins and I'm the Director of Outshine Consulting and the successrules.com. And what I do for those of you who haven't come across me before is I provide professional coaching and teleseminar training that focuses on helping people achieve personal and professional success in the most economical way possible. So that's what I do, but today's certainly not about what I do, and I have the pleasure of being your host for today's teleseminar with health and fitness guru Gretchen Hotchkiss from Fit-Based Training, who I had the pleasure of meeting about a year ago now. And the reason I've asked Gretchen to do this call today is because she really knows her stuff when it comes to smart and long-term health and fitness. So I'm very excited about having the opportunity to host this teleseminar with her today. And I know she's got a wealth of smart and practical tips to share with you. So today's call is on the hot topic of how to lose weight and keep it off. And the operative word be and make sure you keep it off. And I do encourage you to listen through to the very end of today's teleseminar because Gretchen has a very valuable bonus gift for eligible listeners, which I'll announce at the end of today's call after she's answered your questions. Now, I just want to tell you a little bit about Gretchen before I bring her onto the call. If I could just ask everyone on the call for a moment, though, please, to make sure they're muted out. And to do that, you just need to press star six. So please press star six to mute yourself out. And that way, if you are asking your husband or wife to be quiet or for the dog to sit down, we're not going to hear it. So please press star six now. Okay, so Gretchen. Gretchen's career to date has been spent entirely in the fitness industry, so she's an absolute expert. And she tells me it's quite ironic given that for the first 15 years of her life, she hated physical activity with a passion. So it just goes to show that there is definitely hope for us all. So from an early age, Gretchen got involved in competitive aerobics and she competed at top level in New Zealand, which is her home country. And she then started university and serious sport took a bit of a back seat, so she started running purely for weight loss management. But over the years has really grown to love running and now does between 4 and 6 half marathons a year with plenty of 10K races thrown in for good measure. And she's planning on doing her second marathon this year, which I think is highly commendable. Anyone that can run a marathon, my hat goes off to them. So if that wasn't already enough, Gretchen's also done a few triathlons, ocean swims, cycling events, and she also rode competitively for a year. Now, work-wise, Gretchen's managed fitness teams in Sydney and London and works with clients one-on-one and in groups with her aim to encourage everyone that she meets to create happy and healthy habits they're going to maintain for the rest of their life. So at Fit-Based, Gretchen's approach is to treat everyone as an individual by looking at your work, your family, your lifestyle and your goals. Fit-Based aim to help you achieve the body and the fitness that you really want. So without further ado, I would like to extend a very warm welcome and bring Gretchen onto the call. Hi Gretchen, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you, Faye. Thanks for the glowing introduction. Good.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm very excited to be here today. It's good to get stuck into the questions I've got in front of me here. We've had some really exciting questions come through. Some of them are questions I hear almost every week, and some of them are questions I have never had from a client before. So we've got a little bit of everything today. Looking forward to helping you out and giving you some answers.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it too. And you know what, Gretchen and I have known each other for a while now and she gives me lots of advice, but it's always good to hear the things that you do know again and then to hear those questions that you don't and get more information. So I'm really excited about just sitting back and listening to you today. So before we get on to the questions and go through a quick few points before starting, can you tell us why you think this is such a hotly anticipated topic? Because it's certainly been a popular teleseminar and it's a topic that, you know, it always gets people's ears pricked up and they want to know how they can do it. Why do you think it's so popular?
I think it's so popular because it applies to so many people. Virtually everyone has tried to lose weight before. It's one of the questions I ask on my initial health assessments, have you tried a diet before? And I have had very, very few forms come back without a tick in that box. So we've all tried before, and most people have been successful at some stage, yet most people can't maintain these results. So today when they look in the mirror, they're just not happy. So people want to know how to lose weight and how to make sure, once they've got to the shape and size they want, how they can stay there with as little effort as possible.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to this. Okay, so just before we crack on and let Gretchen start answering your questions, I want everybody on the call to do three quick and easy things for me, please. Now, the first one I want you to do is make sure you've got a pen and paper in front of you so that you can take lots of notes, because Gretchen's going to be answering lots of your questions one by one tonight, today. And you're going to want to take notes, because even though this call is free, it is content rich. There is no big sell. We are here to offer you good, clean, honest advice. And so there's going to be a lot of information that Gretchen's going to give you that you're going to be wanting to write down. So remember, the palest of ink is better than a photographic memory. So make sure you've got a note, a piece of paper and a pen at hand so you can start taking notes. Now, secondly, as Gretchen starts revealing some of her top tips, I want you to think about how you can quickly implement some of the strategies that she revealed. Because what you know isn't worth knowing if you don't take action on it. And we really want you to be able to take action after you get off this call today. And finally, I'd like you to make a deadline to implement at least three of the tips that Gretchen reveals during this call. That's how you're going to get the most out of the teleseminar, by committing to taking action on some of the strategies you're about to learn about. And there's going to be lots of things that you're going to be learning, so just commit to three so that you don't kick yourself into overwhelm, and that way you can move forward and start taking action on some of those points. Now, I just want to give you some context around how this teleseminar came to be. What's about to happen, for those of you who haven't been on one of my Ask teleseminars before, is that the information that's about to happen didn't just come from Gretchen or mine's mind. This came from the collective minds of everyone on the teleseminar tonight. And so we're getting some quite bad feedback. So if anybody has just joined the call, could they please make sure they press star 6 to mute yourself out of the call? That would be great, and then we won't be able to hear you. Wonderful. Nice and quiet. Thank you very much, whoever just did that. Okay, so what's about to happen didn't just come out of our minds. It came from the collective minds of everyone on the call today. And thanks to a methodology that's 2,600 years old and courtesy of Socrates, we asked you a very important question. And that question read, what's the most burning question you have on how to lose weight and keep it off? So without further delay, let's get into your questions. And what we've done, because we've only got up to 60 minutes today, and Gretchen can't possibly answer all of the questions she's received in that time, is we've picked the most common questions and that seem to apply to the majority of listeners so that everybody on today's call can get value from the teleseminar. So just because it isn't your question that Gretchen's answering, it's still really important to focus and avoid multitasking while you're on this call as much as possible so that you can get the most benefit from the next hour. So the questions we're going to cover are, number one, should I eat more if I feel I'm lacking energy during the day? Number two, what's a practical, simple and realistic approach to losing weight and keeping it off? Number three, how does stress affect weight and metabolic rate? Number four, can you recommend food to snack on that keeps a person full but it's not unhealthy? Number five, what's the best training? Number six, how do I keep myself motivated to work out and eat healthy at all times when all I want to do is eat the opposite and do the opposite? And finally, my eating seems out of control. I work from home, and when I'm stressed about something, I just want to run downstairs and eat something. I feel a total failure. What's going on? I can't live this way anymore. It's too uncomfortable, and summer is just around the corner. Seven really fantastic questions there, and they really do encompass the majority of the other questions that we receive. So without further ado, let's crack on. And Gretchen, your first question this evening comes from Daniel. Daniel, thanks so much for submitting your question. Daniel says, how should I eat more if I feel I'm lacking in energy during the day? So what do you reckon, Gretchen?
All right. The easiest thing to do when we're lacking in energy during the day is to reach for food, preferably sugar, possibly coffee. We all know this feeling. Some of you will have heard of 3:30-itis. It happens before you know it. It's a habit to grab something to snack on every afternoon, whether you need it or not. So you need it on Monday.
Every day, Gretchen, every day.
I know. So it's very, very common, and that's something that you need to retrain yourself so that it doesn't happen. It's a really easy way to learn how to keep your energy up during the day, and you'll save calories every day. So what you need to do to start with is ask yourself why you're lacking in energy. Have you had enough water during the day? That's the first question. Standard recommendations around the world will say you should drink 8 glasses of water a day, even more for very active people. So make sure you're drinking enough. A good honest way to do this is to use a bottle. So you might have a 500ml bottle of water, fill it up in the morning, drink it, fill it up, drink it again before lunch, so you've had a litre before lunch, and then do this again in the afternoon. So by the time you get home for dinner, you've already had your 8 glasses of water. This way you don't come to the end of the day and go, oh, whoops, I forgot to drink today, and it's too late. No one wants to stand at home and drink a litre. Another thing to ask yourself about your energy levels is, did you get enough sleep the previous night? Was it at the right time of night? So we all need 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night, and 1 to 2 of these hours must be before midnight to get the maximum benefit. If you're never tired before midnight, you need to look at your evening habits. So what time do you get home from work? Do you watch TV or use the computer right up until bedtime? We need to wind down, so we need to let the adrenal glands relax. These are the glands in the body that release adrenaline, and most of you know that feeling of adrenaline. When it's really pumping, we're all wound up. And to a certain extent, we're on adrenaline all day, and you need to reduce this so that you can go to sleep. Dim the lights, take a bath, read, switch off the TV and put on some music, anything to calm you down so you're getting good sleep so the next day you have more energy and can avoid the afternoon energy slump. As a side point here, just a little point of interest, did you know that lack of sleep is a cause of weight gain? If the body does not have enough time to rest and repair each night, it'll burn less fat the following day. So by getting your 6 to 8 hours sleep every night, you're not being lazy, you're really doing your body a favour. Another question dealing with these energy lapses we have mid-afternoon, are you stressed? Sometimes we feel tired to block out the stress of what is happening around us. There'll be a lot more on the body's response to stress when we answer Jennifer's questions soon, so I'll leave that one for now. And back to the main point of the question, food. If you're lacking in energy, think about what you've eaten so far during the day. I have a client who was desperately trying to lose weight before she came to me. She was eating typically healthy food. She might have some fruit and muesli for breakfast, maybe snack on a piece of fruit mid-morning, have a salad or perhaps a salad sandwich for lunch. Most people would say this sounds healthy, and do you think that sounds healthy?
Yes, absolutely.
It does, doesn't it? You think it's a perfect
diet. It sounds quite typical of the kind of diet. It sounds quite typical of the diets that you read about in magazines or, you know, the things that you, well, certainly for me, the things that I've read about and learned over the years that, you know, that sounds like the perfect plan that I should be sticking to, but it never really seems
it's
to work for me.
It's quite similar to the healthy food pyramid, so it's quite based on that healthy food pyramid where you eat most of your fruits and vegetables and go from there. The problem with this diet is that it's almost pure carbohydrates. There's no protein in this, well, virtually no protein and no fat in this diet. And when our body metabolizes carbohydrates, they become sugar, and then the sugar is stored in the muscle to use as energy. So basically, this healthy diet is a high-sugar diet. And what happens when you eat too much sugar? You crash, and you crave food to pick yourself up again. So you eat more sugar, and what happens? You crash again. And within a month of doing this, you've gained weight, you're tired, you're run down, and you just don't know why because you're eating healthily. So we need to avoid this happening and have more balanced food during the day. So about the answer to the question so far is just trying to avoid the energy lapse in the first place. So what you need to do is balance what you're eating and also try to balance how often you're eating during the day. You ideally have either 6 small meals a day or 3 normal meals with 2 healthy snacks. And we'll cover some snack options again in a few minutes. Aim to never go more than 4 hours without food. 3 hours is even better. So if looking back on your day, you realize you haven't eaten much, reach for some protein. So it's mid-afternoon, you're tired, you try to figure out why you have no energy and you realize you have no energy because you haven't eaten enough, protein is the answer. So perhaps a hard-boiled egg or a few nuts. You can have some cottage cheese on a whole grain cracker. Some hummus, veggie sticks or with whole grain crackers is good. I'll give you tons of ideas for snacks soon. So in a sort of a summary to answer Daniel's question about whether he should eat when he's lacking energy during the day, remember these main points. These are the points you might want to write down. Drink plenty of water, at least 8 glasses a day, and try to time it so you're drinking them throughout the day. Get enough sleep, 6 to 8 hours a night, and make sure you're asleep an hour or two before midnight. Eat a balanced diet. You need a combination of carbohydrates, fats, and proteins. Eat regularly, so preferably no more than 3 hours between meals, definitely no more than 4. And if you realize you haven't eaten enough during the day, eat some protein like nuts or an egg. This way you'll have the energy to last a little bit longer than if you snack on carbohydrates and have had that sugar high followed by a crash. Hope that helped you, Daniel. Good luck with that.
Brilliant. You know, that's really, really resonated with me because, as you know, I'm trying to lose weight at the moment for my wedding, and all the things that you talked about that kind of don't work have been what I feel I've been doing for a long time. And over the last 2 weeks, I've completely changed that and got a completely different diet plan. But it's very much in line with what you're talking about. And for the last 2 weeks, I've lost the most weight I've probably ever lost, you know, consistently. And I've had the most energy. Thank you. But really important for me, I've had the most energy. And it's because, you know, when you talk about carbohydrates and fats, I think there's so much hype about, you know, getting low-fat or no-fat options, avoiding carbs. But when I was doing those things, I had no energy and, you know, I wasn't losing weight and I was really getting sick of trying to diet so quickly. But putting those back into my diet but in the right way has made a massive difference. So you're, you know, just from a personal perspective, your advice there is absolutely spot on. And I just didn't realise it until I started this plan. So thank you. Very, very good advice.
Excellent. Good.
Okay. Number two comes from Shabu. And Shabu says, what's a practical, simple and realistic approach to losing weight and keeping it off? The golden question.
This is it. This is the big one. This is the question that started this telly seminar. The simplest answer is this. To lose weight, you need to burn more energy than you eat each day. And to maintain this weight, you need to balance what you eat with what you burn each day. But what in the world does that mean, and how do you make it happen? We all have different ideas about what's realistic. Shabu did ask for a realistic approach, and some of us have more free time than others, so we have to work about this and figure out how to fit it into your life. What I'm going to do is take you through some steps to help you incorporate better eating and exercise habits in your life. Really, really good section to take a lot of notes. You'll refer back to the strategy again and again, and this is where a lot of you will find your takeaway points that you want to implement straight away.
Great.
The first thing we need to do, get ready. Throw everything that's not necessary out of the way and look at that piece of paper.
Yeah.
First of all, we need to get realistic about what is happening right now. So I'm going to ask you 10 questions slowly. I need you to note down the answers because then we're going to work through the questions. You look at your answers and we'll discuss them. Question number one. Do you keep a well-stocked fruit bowl in your house? Question number two. Do you have any soft drink, including diet soft drink, chocolate biscuits or ice cream in your house today? Keyword, today.
I wish.
Don't say no. You can't say, oh, I do, but I don't normally, so that doesn't count. It does count. If it's there today, it counts. So yes or no, do you have soft drink, chocolate biscuits, chocolate or ice cream in your house today? Scary question. Question three, how many sweet or fatty treats have you had in the last week? Include treats like cake, donuts, biscuits, crisps, chocolate, takeaways, anything. So just work through day by day. I'll give you a minute and think about what you've had in the last week. Just take a few more seconds to run through the last few days. All right, moving on. You might come back to that one again soon. How many days in the last week did you eat breakfast, including weekends? How many evening meals, this is question five, how many evening meals in the last week did you make at home? Or if it's easier for you, how many did you not make at home? Question number six. When you sit down or stand up or drive or whatever you're doing to eat a meal, do you eat quickly? Question number seven. How many times in the last week did you exercise for at least 30 minutes at one time? Number eight. How many times in the last week did you stretch for at least 3 or 4 minutes? Question number nine, how many times yesterday, again, keyword, yesterday, did you climb a set of stairs? Doesn't matter, big or small, as long as it's not just 2 steps to the front door. And the last question, question 10, How many hours a day, on average, do you spend seated? So think about your desk when you're walking, your car, your couch, anything. Anything, any time you spend seated counts as it. Put it down. And now we're going to work through these questions one by one and talk about what the ideal answer is and how you're going to make that your answer next time you answer these questions. So question number one, do you have a well-stocked fruit bowl in your house? Convenience is everything. That's why people are eating so much fast food now. So why don't you try and make fruit a convenient option? Have a bowl in your house so you can eat a piece of fruit with breakfast every day, take a piece with you to work, and have a piece to snack on when you get home. Much, much, much better pre-dinner option than cheese and crackers. Keep it interesting. Try some new fruit. A few years ago, you're not allowed to laugh at me, but a few years ago I implemented Freaky Fruit Friday in our house. Every Friday I had half a day off, so I'd go to the market, find a piece of fruit I'd never tried before, didn't even know how to cut half of them. And it was just a good way to keep things interesting. You obviously run out of
options. You're so right.
For a few months. There are...
But you're right, though, because, you know, I certainly get stuck into bananas and apples. You know, you just buy the same old thing every time, and there are so many other options out there. So we should just make a bit more effort to try
them. So then you just stop buying it altogether, which obviously means then you're eating no fruit. So, you know, if you do like your bananas and apples, keep them, but then mix it up every week, bring in something new as well. And you'll find new things that you get really attached to. And so really try to mix it up. Variety is the spice of life. So have an interesting fruit bowl that's got all sorts of things in it. Question number two. Soft drink, chocolate biscuits, ice cream, chocolate, crisps, anything like that in your house today. If the answer here is yes, get rid of them. If the thought of getting rid of them seems ridiculous and you're tempted to hang up the phone, just hold on for a second and we'll come up with some other less drastic options. One option is to try portion control. So you can get mini single serves of ice cream, sort of bite-sized chocolate-coated ice cream or chocolate, and stick to a maximum of one serve a day. So do this if you really know that if you have that single serve portion of ice cream in the freezer, you will have one serve a day, and that will be your limit. Much, much, much better than starting with a spoon of ice cream and then keeping going and going and going. So portion control does work. It's a good option. But remember, the long-term goal is to limit these treats. So getting them out of your house should be your final goal. And remember as well, don't use the rest of your family as an excuse to keep them. They are better off without the treats as well. It's okay to have one day a week when you relax and eat whatever you like. It's actually been proven that people who are most successful dieting have one day off dieting every week. It's much more maintainable if you give yourself a break. On this day, try and eat out or buy a portion that's big enough to satisfy you, but make sure there aren't any leftovers so that it's a one-day treat. It doesn't carry over to the next day. With regards to soft drink, this is evil, evil stuff. I hate it. Try to let it go. It's just a lose-lose situation. The standard soft drink has 100 to 130 calories per glass. It's more than a glass of wine, and it's comparable to 100 grams of chicken. Would you prefer to give yourself a glass of sugar or some real food? This is why so many people choose diet soft drinks. It's great in theory, you know, no calories, tastes good, I like it. But several studies show that these diet drinks lead to increased appetites and can lead to various illnesses. I've been linked with a few. So you're consuming less calories by having a diet drink, but then you're undoing all of your good work by being hungry and eating more food and also by filling yourself with chemicals that your body just doesn't need. Most soft drinks are also caffeinated, so you're dehydrated, and as we discovered in my first section, we need to keep hydrated to keep our metabolism going well. I'm really sorry if you love soft drink, but please make that one of the first things you do. Try and cut it out of your life. It's just not worth it. If you want to, you could replace it with soda water with a little bit of cordial put in it or a little bit of lime juice, something like that, so it hits the spot, but it's just not soft drink. So in summary to this part, make fatty foods and soft drinks an inconvenience. Don't keep them at home, and if you must, keep single serve portions.
Do you find, Gretchen, you know, with drinks, sorry, we've got quite a bad delay between us, haven't we? That's why we keep talking over each other, sorry. I'm just thinking with drinks, you know, I'm quite amazed if I do a food diary and actually write down the calories that I'm taking in, that drinks can really, really add up, you know, whether they're soft drinks or whatever they are. I think, you know, we can sometimes drink and think, well, that's not included in the allowance, but actually calorie-wise and fat and sugar can really add up just through the drinks we have in one day.
definitely. Absolutely. They're such empty calories. They don't fill you up.
Mm.
They don't really give you energy. The energy they do give you is very, very short term. And basically, they're making you fat. So, it's, you know, if you do drink sweet drinks during the day and then alcohol at night, it's like putting a couple of extra meals in your day. It really does have a big impact. I'll talk a little bit later on about how to get your head around how much of an impact they are having and what to do about this.
Great, thank you. Okay.
That's all right. I'm going to run on to question three now. How many sweet or fatty treats did you have in the last week? The point here is to be really aware of what you're eating each day. So you need to know how many treats you're eating now so you can set a realistic plan for next week and the week after for how you're going to cut back. I have a client who keeps a food diary for me. In the first week she did this, I nearly fell over. She had 21 unnecessary treats. Anything, burger and fries, Pepsi Max, ice cream, Easter eggs, anything. It was pretty scary stuff. And then to add to this, she skipped 6 of her 21 meals in the week as well. So I felt like I really had my work cut out for me.
Wow.
The first target I set her was to cut down to 15 treats in a week and to eat breakfast every day. So I didn't mind if she still missed a few other meals, and I didn't mind that 15 treats is still a lot because it's a lot less than 21. So that was the next week's plan. From there, we moved down to 12 treats and only skipping 2 meals maximum in the whole week. So she really needed to write down what she was doing each day, so she knew that if by Thursday she'd already skipped 2 meals, she physically could not skip any more. Now, 5 weeks later, she doesn't skip meals at all, possibly in a bad week, 1 meal a week. And she's a nurse, so she works difficult hours, and it's very hard to have regular meal times, but she does it. And she's down to 5 to 7 treats in a week, which I'm really happy with. It's not quite one a day, so she's doing well. These changes need to be gradual to be able to maintain them. So when you do it, don't go, oh, I want to only have 3 treats in a week. If you're having 18 now, you can't have 3 treats next week because you will be miserable. So really little steps is the way to go. Your treats might be something simple like a biscuit with hot drinks or a bit of dessert. Just be gentle with yourself. Perhaps if you're having dessert every night, take it out on Mondays and Wednesdays. Then the next week, take it out on Thursdays. Then only in the weekends have dessert. Then down to 1 night a week, and that's it. You can have 1 dessert 1 night a week for the rest of your life. Just be honest. If you end up sneaking in dessert during the week 1 week because you're out, then cut it out on the weekends. You can't have both. We're going to move on to breakfast. How many days in the last week did you have breakfast? The solution here is simple. Eat breakfast. Every single day, as soon as possible after you get up, you need to eat. It kickstarts your metabolism, it gets your digestive system functioning, and it'll give you the energy you need for the rest of the day. If you find you aren't hungry first thing, this is a problem several people have, try eating earlier the night before. When it comes to what to eat for breakfast, try and balance it out. So if you like cereal, which is carbohydrates, try to have some nuts with it to provide you fats and protein. Or if you like toast, have it with an egg or at least with some dairy like ricotta. Maybe some avocado, just something that gives you longer lasting energy than just carbohydrates. Unfortunately, Kellogg's and the other cereal companies of the world have brainwashed us into thinking that cereal is the healthiest breakfast. Did you know that in very recent research in Australia, I think it was published last week, Weet-Bix was found to be the only everyday cereal. Every single other cereal had too much sugar or fat to make them a healthy breakfast option. It's ridiculous, isn't it? If you
walk
down the cereal aisle, there are about 30 main different types of cereal, and then you break that down into different brands, and there are 60, 80 different cereals. And out of all of them, one is healthy enough to be eating every day. So why do we believe these ads that Special K and all brand will make us slim? How can it make us slim when guidelines say you shouldn't be eating it every day? Why do we eat Nutri-Grain, and why do we let our kids eat Cocoa Pops? We've got to really go, whoa, what am I doing eating sugar for breakfast?
Yeah.
So what I really encourage you to do is think outside the square. How about last night's leftovers? Might not be traditional breakfast to have some cold chicken, but it's really well-balanced meal if you have some chicken and some leftover bits and pieces. So I promise you I do this. I'm not just talking rubbish. I do it and I love it. If you're always rushed in the morning, there are still good, healthy options. So you can have a nut bar. There are lots of different ones. Some are good and some are bad. I'm going to talk about that more soon. Or you could have some sort of protein shake. Maybe blend some banana with a few nuts and a few oats and either milk or fruit juice with a bit of ice. And you can put it in one of the takeaway coffee mugs, or the kind of thermos mugs, and it'll stay cold so you can have it in the car on the way to work and have a bit of protein to start the day. Just remember, breakfast is absolutely the most important meal of the day. If you don't like it or you don't feel like it at the moment, something needs to change so that you do. Eat it every day, eat it as early as possible, and learn to enjoy it. Find a way. Moving on now, we're going to go to the other end of the day and talk about evening meals. How many evening meals in the last week did you make at home? And just remember, as I ask these questions, to look down at what your answer was and then think about your answer as I describe what it should be and what you're going to do to get there. If you eat out, no matter what you order, you can virtually guarantee that the food on your plate will not be as healthy as if you made it at home. If you think back to the way your grandparents lived, things were pretty simple. They didn't go out much. They ate foods we would think of as bad, such as cheese, butter, meats, home baking, but they were so much thinner than us. Their food was simple and their portions were smaller. They would freak out if you took them out today and they saw how big a portion was at a restaurant. So really think about how much they were eating. Take out the sugar, take out the salt, take out the preservatives from our food, and we'd be in much better shape too. So you want to cut restaurant servings by about a third, maybe even half, and you'd still go home satisfied. You still would have had enough. So think about maybe asking for just an entree size when you go out, or if it's something that comes with chips or baked potato or anything like that, just ask to go it out. Just have the main with some vegetables and forget about the starches that would normally come with it. So I'm not saying we need to stay on house arrest. That would be quite boring to lose weight. Just be aware that eating at home is always the healthier option. And so if you're going to go out, you need to think about what you're going to do to make that a reasonably healthy option.
Nice. Well, I think, Gretchen, also eating out is often for many people a convenience thing, as we've talked about, you know, fast food and convenience. And so a lot of this comes down to planning. I know that if I plan the week before what I'm going to eat and I'm going to eat healthily and the food's in the fridge, and I wouldn't go out. But if I don't spend, you know, a quarter of an hour, half an hour planning, then by hook or by crook, we end up in a restaurant because that's the only convenient thing to do rather than going down to the supermarket late after work. So planning is kind of a vital component in this, isn't it?
It's like what I mentioned with the fruit bowl. Make fruit convenient so you eat fruit. So make eating at home convenient so you eat at home. Things like couscous are so quick. You get some couscous, you pour some boiling water on it, and there it is. You know, it's so quick and simple, and all you need to do is cut up some vegetables and mix them through it, and you have a great couscous salad. Think about what you're going to eat in advance, and think about things that you can double up. So if you make a big casserole or a big Thai curry or anything that's sort of a stewy one-pot dinner, just make it big. Make enough to have it sort of three nights and then freeze the rest of it in two separate portions. Try to portion it out before you eat it so you don't sneakily keep going back for more and more. But if you portion it out and freeze it, then one night you can come home and there you go, dinner's done. So think about it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Excellent.
All right. Do you eat quickly? Magic question. I would be surprised if there were a few people that said no there. Almost everyone will have said yes. It takes just over 20 minutes for our brain to realise that our stomach is full. So if you eat in about, maybe it takes you 10 minutes to eat your evening meal, and you're still hungry, so you get up, you go to the kitchen, you get your seconds, you're probably eating too much. Really try to slow down, focus on what you're eating, and just enjoy the food. Sit back and enjoy it. By chewing your food more, preferably right down till it's liquid, although this does take a while, you're making life much easier for your digestive system. You're going to absorb more of the nutrients that are in your food, and you'll probably end up eating less. Try and see how you go. Interesting little bit of advice here. When I first started studying nutrition, I asked my tutor what the best advice was to give someone who really wanted to eat better but didn't have the money. People generally use money as either a reason or an excuse to not change their diet. And the tutor said to me, two most valuable pieces of advice that can be implemented for free are, number one, chew your food more, and two, drink more water. So simple, completely free, absolutely all of us can do this.
That's brilliant. I eat way too quickly. So that's something new I'm going to do today.
Especially when you're hungry. If you get home starving, you feel like you need to eat it so fast because you're hungry and you've had enough. just stop, get a glass of water, have that as fast as you like, stop for a second, and then take your time when you have your meal. And that's when it really helps to eat at the table. Generally, we will eat a little bit slower if we're at the table than if we're on the couch.
That's great advice. I like
it. Yeah, it is. It's good. Put it into practice tonight. See how you go. This ties into when Faye was saying choose three things that you will implement and set yourself a deadline. Another piece of advice I've heard before, try to make changes within the first 24 hours. So once you learn all this new information, if you can do something with it in the first 24 hours, you are much more likely to actually use it. If you wait and say you'll think about it on Sunday when you've got more time, your chances of success are already diminished by about 80%. So fast, quick reactions, get straight into it.
Absolutely, accelerated learning, that's a great technique.
Yeah, that is, it's good. Let's think about exercise. How many times in the last week did you exercise for at least 30 minutes at one time? If you are aiming to lose weight, the answer here needs to be 5 or 6. If you're aiming to maintain your weight, most international guidelines will say 3 exercise sessions a week. Most countries will have a campaign recommending 30 minutes a week. It's a recommendation to stop people from getting the lifestyle diseases. It's not a weight loss recommendation. So if you're trying to lose weight, it does need to be more like 5 or 6 times a week. It depends on how intensely you're exercising. If your exercise is walking and you're walking at a pace where you can easily hold a conversation, you either need to keep walking for an hour and do this most days, or you need to start walking faster and incorporate some hills. If your exercise is a combination of high-intensity exercise, like spin classes, circuit training, strenuous yoga or Pilates classes, you can get away with about 30 minutes at a time, but then most of these classes run for at least 45 minutes anyway, so you'll get your results faster. An important point here is to think about your life and how much time you're able to make for exercise. If you can only spare 3 to 4 lots of 30 to 40 minutes a week, you really need to maximize these sessions and work hard. Make sure you're puffing while you exercise and you're pretty exhausted afterwards. If you're free to exercise every day and your life's quite flexible, put one day a week aside as a rest day and then the other days just exercise. Do something different each day so it's good for you, but keep moving every single day. Try to have some moderate intensity days, some hard days, and some days inside, some days outside, whatever you enjoy, so you've got a lot of variation in your program. Now, next one, where are we? How many times in the last week did you stretch for at least 3 to 4 minutes? Now, I know a lot of us are time poor, but I would be surprised if there was anyone who couldn't find 3 to 4 minutes a day. Think about this. Getting out of bed and stretching your arms doesn't really count as 3 to 4 minutes of stretching. But how good does it feel when you do it? When we stretch, we get more blood and then more oxygen flowing to our muscles. We relax, take a few deep breaths, refresh the mind, and we're keeping ourselves flexible, which is something we naturally lose as we age. So while regular stretching isn't directly linked to weight loss, it'll help you feel better and it'll help you prevent the injuries, which means you can continue training uninterrupted. The next one we have is, how many times did you climb a set of stairs yesterday? Or perhaps walk to the bus stop, walk to the corner store, walk the dog. You need to get your heart rate up a little through the day to keep your metabolic rate high. If you stay seated for more than 2 hours at a time, your body will become sluggish. Everything starts to slow down, which is often when sugar cravings strike, which refers right back to our first question about what to do when we lack energy. Mm. So try to keep active throughout the day. Walk to visit a friend on the weekend. When you get in the car, go, do I need to drive or could I walk? Maybe if you live somewhere without too much traffic, you could cycle a little more often. Again, refer back to your grandparents. When they were young, if they had a car at all, it would have been one for the family, and they wouldn't have used it daily. So obviously they were just using a lot more of their own energy to get around. I understand that these changes can be a little bit difficult to implement and that we don't really want to go backwards after we've had so many advances in technology. I'm just asking you to think about it and be a little more aware about how active you are during the day. We become lazy and we become reliant on the tools that make life easy, so choose to be active. Just make that a conscious decision and see what you can do. Walking up the stairs each day, cycling if it's possible, walking the dog, they're all activities that will stop you gaining weight and help you to maintain your fitness, so you might as well start doing them straight away. This is the last question referring to how are we going to be a little bit healthier, sort of realistic approaches. How many hours each day do you spend seated? I really hope the numbers here aren't too high, but I think we'll have a good mixture out there. Get active. just like the previous question, move. If you drive to work for 45 minutes and then you sit at your desk for 8 to 10 hours, you drive home for 45 minutes, you watch an hour or two of TV in the evening, do a couple of chores around the house, and then go to bed and sleep for 8 hours, you've spent between 18 and a half and 21 and a half hours in your day being inactive. You really
need more activity.
Huge, yeah. So just get up from your desk, move, go somewhere, anywhere. Taking a brisk walk in the middle of the day and again in the evening really just helps you burn a few more calories and keep things ticking over. Which leads to a bit of an interesting point. Do we have any at-home mums listening? If we do, listen up. Or any nurses who are on their feet all day at work? Anyone else who has an active or supposedly active job? Because what often happens with these people who are on their feet a lot, they fall into the trap of saying, I'm on my feet all day, so it's okay to relax at home. I don't need to exercise very often. Sure, you're on your feet and you're burning energy, but is it enough? Not really. You still need to push yourself out of your comfort zone and work hard 3 to 5 times a week. This has been a really, really long answer to this question, so I'm going to give you a bit of a summary so that you can remember the main bits. So if you haven't taken tons of notes on this question already, take these ones. I'm going to make it nice and simple. Tip number one, keep a well-stocked fruit bowl at home and eat 2 to 3 pieces every day. Ban treat fruit food from your house. Keep track of how many treats you are eating each week and start reducing this amount. I'll give you a second to catch up. Eat a balanced breakfast every day. Cook at home more often. Eat slowly and chew your food more. Take notes of how many times a week you exercise and for how long. Aim to increase this as long as you still have one rest day a week. So I know some of you are very prone to exercising a little bit too much. That rest day is gold. Take it. Take a few minutes to stretch each day and take every opportunity to be active. Walk the dog, cycle to walk, walk to the shops, absolutely anything. It all adds up. To answer this Tribu's question in more detail, we'd really need to work with everyone individually. So the information you have will help you implement a few changes in your day-to-day life, especially important for those of you who really want to maintain a healthy weight. But just get out there, get moving, and if you do have more questions, please get in touch with me personally. And also have a look at our website. It's www.fitspacetraining.com.au. And from there, you can go to the weight link and have a look at our weight tracker to find out how you can keep track of those calories, like the drinks we were talking about, how you can track what you're really having and get a little bit more realistic about what needs to happen with your day-to-day eating habits. I hope that helps.
Brilliant. My God, what a wealth of information. So just to clarify for everyone there, you will be getting a recording of this call. So if you're frantically trying to write stuff down because there was a huge amount of information there, don't panic, you'll have the call recording in the next couple of days. You'll be able to listen back to Gretchen's advice and sort of get those notes down again. Okay, so moving swiftly on because we are running out of time, unfortunately. Jennifer wrote in, thank you very much, Jennifer, and she said, how does stress affect weight and metabolic rates? Great question.
It is, it's fantastic. The thing with this question is that we all react differently to stress. Have any of you heard of the fight or flight response?
Yeah.
When we're in a stressful situation, yeah, you'd be very familiar with that. I'm sure you teach people about that. So when we're in a stressful situation, we have a physiological response that causes us to either fight back or to flee. We don't think about it. It just happens. Some of us will go into overdrive, stop eating, stop sleeping, lose weight, and our metabolic rate will go through the roof. Others will become overwhelmed and exhausted. They'll turn to duvet therapy, crawl into bed, sleep far too much, gain weight, and generally slow down. The most important thing to remember here is that we need to reduce stress in our lives and we want to optimize our metabolic rate. If I just refer to personal experience, I have definitely lost weight through stress before. Tons of it, you know, stressful time and the weight just falls off when you're not trying. And I'm not a big person, so when it does, I get a bit stressed, even more stressed, going, no, I don't want to lose any more weight. What's happening here? And the thing is, it comes back on. So don't use stress as a way to lose weight because it doesn't stay off. You will get it back and you might get even more. So what we need to do is manage the stress in our lives. So if your body is going too fast, it'll shut down. you'll lose all traction, you'll be going so fast, you will literally just hit the wall and fall down. We need to maintain good health and keep your metabolism fast, but not too fast. Something really interesting, and this is something I've learned a lot more about recently, is that our body can't differentiate between different stresses. Lack of sleep, high intensity exercise, work stress, family stress, it's all the same. Your body doesn't care what it is, it's just stress. So to get the most out of your body, you need to find a healthy balance. If you're feeling really stressed and overwhelmed in life, turn to more restorative exercises like yoga or Pilates. Eat restorative foods like root vegetables and fresh fruit. If you're feeling pretty good, life's great, you're in a happy relationship, work's easy and you're cruising along, pick it up a bit. Use exercise to put a little bit of healthy stress into your life and push yourself out of that happy, comfortable place.
One thing that's great advice, keeping a balance.
Is that about 70% of the population are in the early stages of adrenal fatigue. We mentioned the adrenal glands right at the beginning, so that's the adrenaline pumping through our body. Too much coffee, too much work, too much stress, and too little relaxation will all take their toll on your body and your adrenal system. We really need to take a break, slow down, just appreciate what's happening around you, take up a relaxing hobby. It's ironic, but a little bit more do-nothing time in your week could very well be what it takes to help you lose weight. In conclusion to Jennifer's question, stress does affect your metabolic rate, but it affects everyone differently. It could pick it up or it could slow it down. The aim is really to balance the stress in your life and reduce the yo-yoing effects your stress is having on your weight. So when life is hectic, do calmer exercise and focus on breathing and relaxation. When life is calm, A, appreciate it, and B, balance it out with some more strenuous exercise. Good luck with that, Jennifer.
Brilliant. Great advice. Thank you. Okay, next question for you comes from Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. She says, can you recommend food to snack on that keeps a person full but is not unhealthy? I love this bit. It says, ideally some sort of healthy chocolate that isn't dark chocolate.
I seem to have lost faith, so I will move on for you to the following question. We have a question here from Michelle.
Oh, sorry.
Can you recommend food to snack on that keeps a person full but is not unhealthy? So, ideally, she wants some sort of healthy chocolate that isn't dark chocolate. Can't really do that, but I'll tell you what I can do. There are three aspects that have the biggest make-it-or-break-it effect on diet. These are portion size, alcohol consumption, and snacking. So let's work through how often we should snack and what we should snack on. It's important to remember that everyone is different. If we go back a few hundred years and think about what was happening in different parts of the world. So if you were living in rural Japan a few hundred years ago, your diet would have been largely based on rice. If you lived in Fiji a few hundred years ago, you would have eaten a lot of seafood and fresh fruit. If you lived in the Scottish Highlands, you would have eaten root vegetables and fatty red meat. Are you wondering what I'm talking about? Because we're going to get to the point right now. As individuals, we need to eat right for our type. So our bodies aren't computers. They don't update every second time we turn them on. It takes decades, even centuries, for simple adaptations to take place within the human body. So take a few minutes now to think about where your great-grandparents lived. Where were they? And your grandparents, where were they? If they lived in a cooler climate, especially if it was inland, you're most likely a protein type. If they lived somewhere warm, you're probably a carbohydrate type. It is possible to be a mixed type, although most people who initially come up as mixed are actually more of a protein type or a carbohydrate type. If this interests you, because it is a massive topic that we could talk about for days, send me an email. Say we'll be giving you my email address at the end, and or just contact me via my FitSpace website. And I'll send you the questionnaire so you can see what type you are. Honestly, it'll change the way you eat. It's amazing. But now back to snacks. Here's an excerpt from a food diary a client kept for me. She had breakfast at 7 o'clock, a couple of pieces of toast with jam and a cup of tea. She had a snack at 11, a cup of coffee and an orange. She had lunch at 12:30, chicken sandwich, apple and some juice. She had another snack mid-afternoon, cup of tea and a muffin. And at 7 o'clock she had her dinner, which was a pasta baked with veggies and some fruit salad and custard. Now we're going to break it down. Breakfast, carbs, snack, carbs, lunch, carbs, with a little bit of chicken, which is protein. Even the fruit juice is carbs. Snack, carbs, dinner, carbs. As we've discussed, carbs are sugar. If you're eating sugar all day, which leads to energy slumps and weight gain. So mix it up. Those snacks must and incorporate protein. Try to combine a little bit of carbohydrate with a little bit of protein in every single snack you have. For most of you, you're going, well, I don't even know what's what, so where do I start? So I'm just going to run through a situation and some good snacks for that situation. So, complete exhaustion, what should you snack on? A boiled egg, a handful of nuts. Brazil nuts are fantastic. Peanuts and almonds are a little bit less. They're quite high in fat, and they have a little bit of a lower satiety rating, so you won't feel as full. Veggie sticks with hummus, good. Whole grain cracker with low cheese, with low fat cheese is also good. Snacks for after training. So with these different snacks, write down the ones that apply to situations you find yourself in. Small serves of muesli with yogurt are good after training. Banana smoothie with a handful of oats added. Quite energy dense, so if you are going to have this, make sure your next meal is a little bit smaller. Or banana sliced on whole grain toast. If you're on the run, ideally we'd avoid eating on the run, but realistically it happens. So when you're on the run, you can have a handful of nuts, perhaps a nut bar, but be wary. Big variation in different brands. So look at the back of the box, and you want to find the brand that has the shortest ingredients list, the least carbohydrates, and the least sugar, and the least total amount of energy. Once you find a good one, just stick with it. Whole grain crackers with cottage cheese are good when you're on the run, and a piece of fruit with a couple of nuts is great. General snacks for a carbohydrate type. You could have some fruit and yogurt, some whole grain crackers with hummus or low-fat cheese, perhaps some veggies and hummus. You could have some whole grain toast with peanut butter or cheese. Some of you are scared of peanut butter because it's high in fat. Just trust me, it's really not the worst thing you can be eating. A little bit of peanut butter is good. And small serves of muesli with nuts or seeds are good for carbohydrate types. General snacks for protein types, I've got some nuts, a whole grain cracker with low-fat cheese or avocado, boiled egg, tin of tuna, or a piece of chicken or other unprocessed meat, so not salami, avoid that, with some salad leaves. You can just roll them up together and eat them. Surely, somewhere on that list, there is something that's going to work for you, something that really hits your spot. So have a look, try some different snacks, see how you feel an hour or two afterwards, and if you feel great, stick with that snack and keep eating it. I hope that one helps you out there, Michelle. It's a few different ideas for snacks. And again, if you want more ideas, you're very welcome to get hold of me.
Cool. Okay, on to training now. Danielle sent in the question and said, what's the best training? What is it, Gretchen?
It is. It's another question we could talk about forever. There's a very
good
answer. And there's a scientific answer. So I'll try to give you a good version of both. Firstly, the simple answer. So simple, you won't even need to write this down. This is going to fall straight into your head and make sense. Your training needs to be varied and your training needs to be enjoyable. By varying your training, you're going to work your entire body and all of your different energy systems. You'll reduce your chance of injury. If you run 6 days a week, unfortunately, and I don't like saying this because I love running, but the chances of knee, hip, ankle, back or shin pain is pretty high. If you run once a week, swim once a week, do an aerobics class a week and maybe a yoga class, you're much less likely to develop an injury and you'll be working your body in every way. The other half of this answer was to enjoy your training. Honestly, people, if you enjoy something, you'll do it. If you look forward to your training for any reason, you'll be there more often. It might not even be the actual training you enjoy. It could be the friends you go with or the park you train in or the way you feel afterwards. Find the positive to motivate you, and if you can't find a positive, find a new type of training so that there is one. Now, moving on to the scientific answer, pay a little bit more attention here and maybe take a few notes. Most people, if they're trying to lose weight, will do cardiovascular exercise because they've read in health magazines that it just burns more fat. They've also heard that it's better to work at a lower intensity for a longer time, for example, to go for a brisk walk, than to go for a shorter run. If you look at the amount of fat you burn while you're exercising, this is true. If you work at a higher intensity, you're not actually burning fat. You're burning the sugar, the glycogen in your muscles. And if you work at a low intensity, you're burning fat. However, if you look at a 24-hour period from the start of that training session until obviously 24 hours later, you do burn more fat from working at a higher intensity. Your body keeps burning and burning and burning. Even when you're sleeping that night after training, it is still burning fat to replace the stores that were in your muscles. So you really do need to mix it up and do some high-intensity work as well as some lower-intensity work. Another point to consider is this. How many body parts are actually working in your workout? How big are the muscles that are working? if it's a total body workout, like a pump class, you're going to get a lot more out of it than, say, sitting on a stationary bike where only your legs are working and your upper body is doing nothing. Try that, combine your whole body. In summary to this one, sorry, we're flying through as we run out of time here. The main things to think about when deciding what type of exercise you will do are: enjoy it, have variety in your training each week, work hard, do some resistance or body weight training, light weights or Pilates, and make sure every part of your body is getting worked.
Brilliant. Okay, that's given us lots of food for thought. So we're on to our very last question now, because we're definitely running out of time, and our last question is from Christine. And she says, how do I keep myself motivated to work out and eat healthily at all times when I want to and it feels easier to do just the opposite? I think we've all been in that position sometime or another before.
And the pickup one involves motivation. Faye and I are actually going to answer this together, because motivation is a very big part of what Faye knows all about, and obviously the exercise is my side. So the most important thing here is to know why you're exercising and eating healthily in the first place. What are you trying to maintain or to achieve? Do you have a goal? I'm going to bounce this back to say soon, but we'll just continue with me for a little bit. What I'll mention is organization. Like I was saying when I discussed snacks, you need to have the right food around you. Make eating right easy and eating unhealthily difficult. Surround yourself by a variety of healthy choices. This also applies to exercise. Make it easy. Make it part of your life. Put it in your diary. Just make it another appointment that you can't miss. Make it an absolutely normal part of your life by involving friends, family, the dog, whatever works for you. And if you still find it impossibly hard to commit to exercise times, consider finding someone who will hold you accountable. It could be your partner, a work colleague, a friend. It can be a trainer, but it doesn't need to be. A good personal trainer is important for those of you who say you'd like one but can't afford one. A good trainer will give you the option of training together once a month, but then keeping in touch in between to help keep you on track. I promise you it'll make you train. Knowing that you're off to see your fitness guru at the end of the month will get you off the couch and out the door to train. Now we're going to hand over to Faye, who will talk you through how to set your fitness goals and keep motivated.
Absolutely. I love the bit about accountability, because I want to talk about that as well, and it's so key. But it's a great question from Christine, because motivation, as you can imagine, is a real key component to achieving health and weight loss goals. And it's also the reason why 71%, that's such a huge number, 71% of dieters and gym members give up after only 2 weeks, because they lack the motivation to continue with their eating and exercise plans. And I say plan there quite loosely, because most people, as Gretchen and I know, don't actually have an exercise or health or weight loss plan. So one of the key areas to look at when it comes to motivation for Christine and everyone listening today is the goal that you're working towards, and specifically why you're working towards that. Now, this is another big topic that we don't have time to cover anywhere near as thoroughly today as I'd like to. But what I want you to think about when you're working out and eating healthily is why you're doing that. And if you find yourself saying things like, because I don't want to be fat, or because I don't want to be unfit, then the first step to increase your motivation is to focus on what you do want. Because all too often, when you ask your friends if they're dieting or, you know, working out madly in the gym, why are they doing that? And they'll probably say because they don't want to be fat, or they're sick of not being able to fit into their clothes, and they'll come out with negative responses. The problem with focusing on what you don't want is that your unconscious mind can't process negatives. So every time you say, I don't want to be fat, your mind has to focus first on being fat. And that's where it stops, because it then can't process the negative word being don't. So to demonstrate how this works for everyone on the call, for everyone listening today, I don't want you to think of a blue tree. Right now, don't think of a blue tree. Now, I wonder what you're all thinking of. And I'm pretty happy to guarantee that most of you are conjuring up images of blue trees right now, if you're focusing on listening to this teleseminar. So first step to increasing your motivation and moving in the right direction is to think about what you do want and set your goals appropriately in line with that. So that includes being very specific with regards to the time frame you want to achieve your goal in and how much weight you want to lose, or at least having some measure to know that you've increased your health and fitness. Secondly, you can increase your motivation by increasing the leverage you have to make a change in your life, and this relates to the theory of pain and pleasure.
So every decision we make in life is either out of a desire to avoid pain or to find pleasure. But the key here, and this is probably what you want to write down, is that we will do more to avoid pain than we will to find pleasure. So every decision in life is out of a desire to avoid pain or to find pleasure, but we will do more to avoid pain. So at the start of any health or fitness program you might be embarking on, and this goes for any goal in your personal or professional life, you can use pain as an immediate motivator to get you moving and to build momentum. So to give you a bit of an example, as I mentioned before, I'm currently losing weight for my wedding, which is in 11 weeks' time, and the pain that's motivating me at the moment is the thought of looking back at my wedding photos and feeling disappointed that I hadn't lost the weight and I didn't feel great on my big day. So the photos are definitely creating the pain for me that I need to move forward at the moment. And I've got a very clear image of what that looks like in my mind and a very emotional connection to that. But what I've done, and this fits in with what Gretchen was just talking about in regards to accountability, is I increase the leverage I need to change by having a little competition with one of my clients who also wants to lose weight. So we have a bit of a biggest loser weight challenge in his office every 2 weeks. And given that I'm a coach, my main purpose is to help my clients achieve their goals. So there's a lot of pain associated with this challenge for me if I can't, you know, walk my own talk, so to speak, and put into practice the strategies that I teach every day. So I've increased my accountability by admitting my goals to my clients, and I've increased the leverage or the pain associated with not achieving my goals. So you need to think about how you can focus on the pain and increase that leverage and accountability to achieve your goals. Now that's an excellent strategy to use to increase your motivation in the short term, but focusing on your positive goals is a successful plan for the long term. So you need two strategies there, one to get you moving immediately and one to keep you motivated long term. So 80% of success is in your mind, and tapping into your psychology is definitely a key component in successful weight loss, and it's something that we'll talk about in more detail in the teleseminar that Gretchen and I are running on the 20th and 22nd of May, and I'll give you a few more details about that in a moment. But that does unfortunately bring us to the end of today's seminar, and we've just got a couple of moments left. We've run out, unfortunately, of questions that we have time to answer today. So I trust you've got lots of value out of the great advice and practical tips that Gretchen's given you. I know I certainly have. And as I mentioned at the very start, Gretchen's got a bonus gift for all of our listeners today who aren't currently clients of FitSpace. And that bonus gift is a free 30-minute phone consultation with FitSpace. So in this time, you'll work through your two biggest health and fitness goals, and Gretchen will help you develop a 6-step plan to help you achieve those goals. So to get that free 30-minute phone consultation, all you need to do is email Gretchen by 5 o'clock on Friday, and for the purposes of this recording, that's Friday the 15th of May 2009, and Gretchen's email address is ghodgkiss@fitspacetraining.com.au. That's ghodgkiss@fitspacetraining.com.au. And I'll also be putting that on an email to you later on today. Now, in addition to that fabulous bonus, you're also going to receive the recording of this call from me in the next couple of days so that you can listen to Gretchen's advice over and over again. And you'll also receive a complimentary subscription to the FitSpace and Outshine Consulting newsletters. And both of those are packed full of top tips to help you master your mental and physical health and fitness. And finally, I just want to grab you for a couple more seconds, is I want to tell you about two exciting teleseminars Gretchen and I are running on the 20th and 22nd of May, where we're going to focus on giving you 5 simple strategies to lose weight and keep it off. So that's going over and above all of the great information you've got today. So during those 60-minute content-rich teleseminars, you'll discover what's stopping you achieving your weight loss and fitness goals. You'll learn how to stop making excuses and start taking action towards those goals. You'll be able to develop your own personal action plan to start getting results now. I'll be teaching you how to master your mindset so that you stop self-sabotaging, and you'll learn 6 easy steps to a healthy eating plan. And on top of all that good stuff, we'll teach you how to increase your motivation, energy, and drive to achieve the results you're looking for. And for everybody listening to this teleseminar today, we're pleased to offer you an early bird rate of only $14.95, and that's Australian dollars. So I know we've got a lot of people from the US listening in today. That makes it even cheaper for you, which is an absolute steal for an hour of professional practical advice that you can put into place immediately after the call. So if you're fed up of trying to lose weight, if you've battled for years to get into shape, or if you're good at coming up with excuses not to exercise, make sure you register for this call before Monday the 11th of May and you can take advantage of our early bird rates. And I'll be sending you a link today on how you can get more information and book later online. So it's certainly been my pleasure to host this call today, and I want to say a very big thank you to Gretchen for giving up her time today to share with us valuable tips and strategies. Gretchen, thank you so much. You've been an inspiration as ever, and your advice is valuable. It's so valuable. Thank you very, very much for your time today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have loved it, and thank you to everyone who's been listening. Sorry that we ran a couple of minutes over, but I really hope that you've got so much out of this call and that you aren't going to walk away as soon as it's over and figure out what and how you're going to implement in your life so that you can change the way you're acting day to day, change the way you feel, and ultimately change the way you look. So goodbye and good luck to all of you. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Richard. And just remind us once more your website address, please, so that everybody could look up and get some resources off of there.
Our website is fitspacetraining.com.au. So have a look, and especially have a look at the weight link. You'll find a lot there. You can even do a free assessment strategy so you can sign up online to make a few commitments to changing your diet without having to pay a cent. So give it a go and see what you think at fitspacetraining.com.au.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And to all of our listeners today, thank you so much for letting Gretchen and I into your homes and offices. We really appreciate your time. My name's Faye Holland from outshineconsulting.com, and I hope our paths cross again. Until then, have a fabulous day or evening, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Thank you and goodbye. Bye.